You know, there's the expression, so close and yet so far. The rich young ruler was so close that the Jesus, the Son of God Almighty, tells him, there's just one thing you lack. You've done it all. There's just one thing you lack. How to have worked your whole life and have done all the right things and then just to be asked to do one more thing and it be too much. You know, was he short-sighted? Obviously. What could have happened if he sold it all and gave it to the poor? I mean, it doesn't tell us in the story, okay? But I want you to speculate. What would have happened had the rich young ruler sold everything he had, gave it to the poor, and went and followed Jesus? You guys... talk to me. What could have happened? Now, you've been studying Job on Wednesday nights. What happened to Job when he lost everything? He what? Yeah. But what happened to Job in the end? What, if y'all read the end of the story, what happened to Job? He was restored. Everything was restored. Even more. What would have happened if the rich young ruler would have given everything he had away and given to the poor and followed Jesus? Is it possible that God would have taken care of him? Probably so. But what did he promise him? He says, sell everything you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. We American Christians want treasure here on earth. We collect it. We distribute it, not to the poor, but we distribute it to our garage. We distribute it to our closet. We distribute it, when we're real nice and unselfish, we distribute it to our children. You understand what I'm saying? We don't do anything like Jesus asked the rich young ruler to do. But we think we're doing the right thing, and we're robbing ourselves of the greatest treasure. Adjustments are necessary. Point one, adjustments in our lives are necessary. You have to make major adjustments in your life to follow God. And here's some of the adjustments that you need to do in your circumstances. We've all looked at this together. People have to change professions sometimes. We have to change living areas. We have to change a lot of our circumstances, because there's another saying that if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. Right? We've got to change our circumstances. We've got to change our relationships. If there's people in your life that are pulling you away from Jesus, that are pulling you away from your life mission, you need to spend less time with them. You need to start spending more time with God and His Word and the people that are focused on that as well. In your thinking, you got to make some adjustments in your thinking. You got to start thinking like a child of God. If you want to change the world, you got to start thinking like Jesus. You got to start following like Jesus. In your commitments, we are committed to a lot of things. I want you to think about your week. Tomorrow's Monday. What are you committed to? Work? School, what else? Somebody just tell me one thing you're committed to tomorrow. Huh? Feeding your family. You got to feed the family. Yeah, we've all got to get fixed breakfast in the morning. Okay, but we have commitments everywhere. But we need to think about what we're really committed to. If Bible study and meeting the Word of God first thing is not on your list, then you need to change some commitments. We're committed to T-ball. We're committed to soccer. We're committed, parents, you're committed to a lot of things, but you need to adjust your commitments so that you can follow Jesus. In your actions, I can't act like I did years ago before I met Jesus. I just can't do it. And neither can you. And how you think, you just got to change. Commitments got to change. Actions got to change. And what you believe in your beliefs, that makes a big difference. What you believe and the beliefs that you exhibit outwardly has a great ability to change the world. So adjustments are necessary. Point number two, Obedience is costly. Obedience. How many of you love the word obedience? How many of you wake up tomorrow morning and say, I get to obey? No. Obedience is hard and it's costly. You can't stay where you are and go with God at the same time. And it's costly to you in this way. Look at what Paul's obedience cost him. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Not first, but second. I just almost hit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll just read three verses, 24 through 27. This is the history of the life ministry of Paul and circumstances. Okay? Five times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. And I've spent a night and a day in the depths of the sea. Okay, let's stop right there. How many of you can relate to what he's just said? How many of you just been beaten five times? If you back up to 24, it says five times I received a Jew's 40 lashes minus one, 39 lashes. How many of you have been beaten with rods, been stoned, shipwrecked, or spend a whole day and a night in the sea floating, waiting to be rescued? Verse 26, on frequent journeys I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the sea, dangers in the open country, dangers on the sea, and dangers among false brothers. Labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, clothing, and cold. Being obedient to the Lord's call will cost you. And if you don't believe Paul, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3:12. Adam, what's that scripture say?
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
All who live a godly life in this world will be persecuted. So sign up. Just go ahead and take your number. Realize it's going to happen. Obedience is costly. It's costly to you, but here's what I also want you to understand. It's not only costly to you, but it's costly to those around you. Now, just turn in your Bibles real quick. We're not going to read the scripture. We don't have time. But look at Exodus 5, 1 through 21. Turn in your Bibles and see what happens in Exodus 5 in the first 21 verses. Once you see it, you'll remember. Exodus 5, 1 through 21. God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh, all right, and tell him to let his people go. Let him go from the slavery. And what does Pharaoh do? Do you remember? He gets a little upset, and he says, no, I'm not going to let you go. And on top of that, because you asked me, I'm going to make all of you make the same amount of bricks, but I'm going to stop supplying the straw. You got to go get your own straw. And I'm going to make the burden on you harder because you asked me to let you go. Did God tell Moses to go to Pharaoh and to obey and do it? Absolutely. The people around him, it was costly for them as well. Not just that. Look at the next scripture. Go to John chapter 19. What happens in John chapter 19? Jesus is being crucified. Who's there? His mother is there watching his son die an excruciating, painful, horrid death. Obedience is costly to not only to you, but those around you. Go to Acts 17, 1 through 9. This'll hit home. Acts 17, 1 through 9. Then they arrived through Amphipolis and Apollonia, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, I should have looked it up, in Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As usual, Paul went with them and on three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the Scriptures. And he explained and showed them that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead, and saying, "This is the Messiah Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you." And then some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, including a great number of God-fearing Greeks, as well as a number of leading women. Now we get to verse 5. But the Jews became jealous, and when they had brought together some scoundrels from the marketplace and formed a mob, they set the city in an uproar. Attacking Jason's house, they searched for them to bring them out to the public assembly. And when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men have turned the world upside down, and they've come here too." Remember when I said you want to change the world? These people were doing it. So much that the people were saying they were doing it. "These people who have turned the world upside down have come here too, and Jason has received them as guests. And they are all acting contrary to Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, Jesus." The Jews stirred up the crowd and the city officials who heard these things. So taking a security bond from Jason and the others, then they released him. Obedience is costly to you and to the people around you. You need to understand that right now. When you begin to obey God, it's going to cost you something, and the people that are closest to you, it's going to affect them as well. And here's why I can say that with total authority. Michelle and I have raised 5 kids, and they've become ministers' kids. And years ago, this was several years ago, I had a youth that was a real troubled kid. It was a real pistol. And I remember, I've told you, sitting in, I think, this chair, I told you when the pastor had to come and tell Todd smoking the tires out of the parking lot isn't really a wise thing to do, and he had to talk to me about that, and I thought it was a great show everybody ought to pay money for. You remember that story? So I remember where I come from. But this young man was driving all around this campus up here and just peeling out, trying to act like he was going to hit kids, come way too close, and this went on, and I told him 2 or 3 times, you need to slow down. He wouldn't listen to me. So one Sunday morning, he pulls up here, and he does the same thing again. So I stop him there, and he rolls down the window, and I just reached in and grabbed the keys and pulled them out, and the car's sitting right over here, just sitting right here in the main drive. And I said, "You'll find your dad, and I'll give your dad the keys back after I tell him what's been going on here." Well, he wasn't happy about it. As a matter of fact, his father wasn't happy about it. He thought I was picking on his kid, but that's a whole other story. But here's what happened. As a result of that, my son Jeff parked his Bronco at the Sylvia Market to hitch a ride with someone else on his way to this water bottling plant to work. And this boy saw my son's car sitting out there, and he decided to take a gun and a baseball bat and knock out all the windows. Now, what he didn't understand is right next door to the Sylvia Market was this house, and there was about a 6'3" guy, 200 and so many pounds, who wanted to be a police officer. His brother was already a police officer, but that day made him decide to become a police officer. And so he calls me and says, "Hey, have you seen your boy's Bronco?" And I said, "No." He said, "You need to drive up here." And so we drove up there, and all the windows are out. And he says, "I can describe the boy that did it. I know exactly what he looks like." And he says, and he started describing, I said, "I know who did it." So I go and confront the boy, and I said, "Hey, look, we got a problem here. You've taken this out, what you have about me, you've taken this out on my son, and now I'm really hot." You start picking on my boy. And so he decides to go over to this guy's house and confront him. not knowing who he is or how big he is, or anything, he takes a baseball bat over to his house and opens up the door and he goes, "Hello." He sets the ball bat down, and it's a whole interesting story that goes on that I don't have time to tell you about. But I will tell you this, when you're obedient to God and you do what people ask, it's costly to you and it's costly to those around you as well. People will suffer for doing the right thing. Understand that up front and realize that in the long run, it's all going to work out okay. But obedience is costly to you and those around you. So, adjustments in your life are necessary. Obedience is costly. Number three, you have to declare a total dependence on God. You have to declare a total dependence on God. John 15:5, a verse that many of you are very familiar with, says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit." But there's a promise here. There's a statement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A lot of people try to do something for God on their own ingenuity, their own skill set, their own ability. And it will get you so far. But in the end, if you're not aligned with God and not abiding in God, you will accomplish really nothing. You'll just be busy doing a lot of stuff, but you're not going to accomplish anything for the kingdom. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Look at Galatians 2:20. Paul writes, "I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me." You have to declare a total dependence on God. God has designed us with weaknesses so that we'll seek him. If we were perfect in every way and had all the skills that we needed, we wouldn't need God. In order for us to accomplish his way, we have to declare to him and declare to others that we have to totally depend on him. Paul figured it out. Look at the prophet Isaiah. We'll look at two scriptures from Isaiah. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What an amazing statement from God. Then we go on to Isaiah 46:9-11. He says, "Remember the former things, those long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I have made known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey, and from far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, I will bring about, and what I have planned, I will do. He'll either do it through you or someone else." We have to declare a total dependence on God. And lastly, number four, we have to declare a total dependence on God and doing it through this vehicle, through prayer. When God encounters you, you face a crisis of belief. Ryan taught about that last week. When God encounters you, you face a crisis of belief that requires major adjustments in your life. So here's what prayer is going to do for you. Prayer will be exceedingly costly to you. We're busy people. How many of you already have your week planned out? Just be honest with me. How many of you already have your week planned out? Come on. How many are planners in here? Mike, raise your hand. Thank you. Oh, Mike's a planner, and I love working for him. He's a planner. Okay. Prayer will be exceedingly costly to you because it takes your time, and when you pray and when you listen, you will get an answer. He'll speak to you through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and people in the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. When he does that, he messes up your plans. And you can either freak out. How many of you freak out? Come on. How many of you are freak out people? Okay. You will freak out or you will submit. And the life will be an adventure. It will be an unpredictable adventure. And you will accomplish much. You will accomplish more than you even planned. You must declare total dependence on God through prayer. You have to make major adjustments in your life because God's going to bring this thing up that is so big that you don't understand how you can do it and you didn't see it coming and you go, and God's going to say, okay, I've got this. I'm God. There's no other one like me. What I say and what I want to do, I will do in and through you if you'll obey. Prayer is going to be exceedingly costly to you. You may need to let God wake you up in the middle of the night. You know why I put that there? That's the only time God really seems to speak to me with deep things. I'm a doer. I'm a results-oriented person, and I'm busy. I like to be busy. I like to do things. If I'm going to sit still, I watch an action flick. I'm a busy person. I'm a guy. I want to see things move. I want to see things blow up. I want to see things. I'm an action-oriented person. Okay? So you know how God gets my attention? After I'm exhausted from this great action-packed day, I go to sleep, and at between 2 and 3 in the morning, he decides to wake me up. And he says, Todd, you really need to call this person. Todd, you really need to apologize to this person. Todd, I called you to do this. Remember, do this. And then my brain engages, and I just go crazy. And then I say, Lord, whatever your will is, speak to me. Your servant's listening. And he'll tell me what he needs to tell me. And then I'll go back to sleep. But there's other times that you need to spend much time in prayer. Because the Lord isn't going to let you just be a quick open and shut case and move on. You got to spend some time. And it might be all night. I've told you this before, and those of you that have followed Billy Graham's ministry for years said if he had it to do all over again, he'd pray more. And then he'd pray more. And then he'd pray more. We need to pray more. Times may come when you pray into the night or even all night. And becoming a person of prayer will require a major adjustment in your life. At least that's what it is to me. I've got to learn to pray more. So, we finish with this. Faith, God requires a crisis of belief to come into our life that's going to require faith and action. Well, what is faith? More importantly, what is mature faith? All of you in here, I believe, understand what faith is. But please write this down. This is a definition that I heard about mature faith years ago. And I've kept it and I've tried to apply it. Mature faith is accomplished through long obedience in the same direction. Mature faith is accomplished through long obedience in the same direction. And I think you understand what that means. So, it requires faith and action. And action is this. It's making those adjustments so that you're in a position to obey God. And when that happens, we change the world. One person, one ministry, one day at a time. So we come to a time of prayer. Would you pray with me? And I'm going to ask you to pray about these things. Ask the Lord, what adjustments do you need to make in your character? Ask the Lord, what adjustments do you need to make in your character? Ask the Lord to speak to you about what adjustments you need to make in how you minister to others. ask the Lord how you need to adjust your life and how you deal with your family. Now I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord, what does our church need to do? What adjustments do we need to make in our attitude as a church? What does our church need to do? What adjustments need to be made in our actions? And ask the Lord to show you what we need to do in our schedule. What do we as a church need to change in our schedule? Heavenly Father, give us the courage to make the necessary adjustments we need to make so that we can be about your kingdom business. So that we can impact this city, Dixon County, Tennessee, the United States, and the utmost parts of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight...